This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. One of the most powerful and beautiful surahs in the Quran that is very close to our hearts is Surah Yusuf. And I'm sure this is a surah that many of us have recited many times. We've studied the tafsir, we've read the translation. So today I just want to share with you some brief reflections on the surah, focused primarily on the themes of Surah Yusuf. What is the overall lessons, the main lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from the surah? And Surah Yusuf, we know it's a very unique surah. It's unique in that it's the only surah that tells the entire story of a prophet from beginning to end in a single surah. And it does so in a way that the entire surah is just that story and nothing else. And it was revealed at a very interesting point in our history. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dealing with the year of sorrow. So the year of sorrow, the year in which his wife Khadija passed away, radiallahu anha, the year in which his uncle Abu Talib passed away, the year in which At-Taif happened, many difficult situations that happened in that one year. And Surah Yusuf was revealed to calm his heart and to give him hope about the future. And that takes us to the first overarching theme of Surah Yusuf. And that is that Surah Yusuf is a reminder that Allah is always in control. This is like a primary theme that you'll find throughout the surah. In life, we're going to face many difficulties. Many things will be outside of our control. There are things you want, but you're just never going to get it. Right? We have to keep reminding ourselves that Allah is in control and Allah knows best. This is a very important lesson that we should take from the surah. So for some people, they struggle to get married. Some people struggle to have children. Some people struggle with a difficult spouse or difficult children. Some people have health issues. Some people have financial issues. Some people have immigration issues. Everyone has different problems. And when something's outside of your control, it can be overwhelming, it can be something that really can cause psychological issues, it can cause depression, it can cause you to start losing hope. My advice, whenever you go into something like that, whenever you are dealing with a situation where something is completely beyond your control, and it's something difficult to deal with, at times like that, one of the best things you can do for yourself is to recite Surah Yusuf and to reflect on its lessons. Because this is a story of a young man who many things happen beyond his control that from the outsider's eyes, they seem like devastation. Why would you allow that to happen? But all of it was part of the plan of Allah to take him to the top, to make him a leader, to make him the most powerful man in Egypt. So Yusuf alayhi salam starts off as the son of a prophet, the youngest son of a prophet who has 12 sons, and his brothers grow jealous of him. They plot to kill him, and eventually they throw him in a well. And he is taken from this well by strangers, sold into slavery, goes to live in a stranger's house in a distant land in Egypt as a slave. There, the woman of the house tries to seduce him, and when he rejects her seduction, she accuses him of being the one trying to do something to her, and he ends up in jail for many years. So all of this, it seems like it's just something bad happening after something bad. It's all things that, in a way, they're very relevant to our times. These are things that happen to people today, right? I mean, even today we know of men who get thrown in jail when a woman falsely accuses him of such things. It's very relevant to our times. And then someone in that situation may wonder, why is this happening to me? You know, and what's beautiful in the story of Yusuf is Allah keeps reminding us at different points in the story that Allah is in control. That it's all part of Allah's plan. So when his brothers throw him in the well, Allah says, "Wallahu alimu bima ya'malun." Allah knows what they're doing. When he's sold into slavery, Allah says, "Wakazalika makanna li Yusuf fil ard." This is how we will establish Yusuf on earth. This is how we're going to give him power on earth. Now, from the outside perspective, Yusuf getting sold into slavery is how he gets established on the earth. What's the link? Well, the link is he became the slave of a very powerful government official. Growing up in that home, he learned about the politics of Egypt. He understood the politics of Egypt. So when he came of age, he was someone who was ready to take over that role, right? And Allah says, while all of these bad things are happening, all of these things that we perceive as negative events, Allah says, "Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakinna aksara an-nasi la ya'lamun." Allah was in control over everything. Allah was in control of his affair. But most people don't know. Most people don't realize this. So you see, this lesson keeps repeating. Right? Throughout the surah, the lesson keeps repeating that Allah is in control. And we need to have faith that if there is something bad in our lives that we have no control over, something that is just qadr Allah, something that seems like a negative event, we have to trust that Allah knows best. That this is all part of the greater plan of Allah. That this is going to be good for us, either in this world or the next. And the reality is, you cannot grow. You cannot become the best version of yourself. You cannot unlock your true capabilities without facing hardships. You cannot. There is no soft part to becoming the best version of yourself. A too soft life, a too easy life, makes you weak. Right? It never allows you to unlock your true potential. This is why you find, like, for example, the problem of boys who never grow up, you know, the man-child problem. It happens where? In wealthy families. It doesn't happen in a poor family, right? In a poor family, a boy has to man up at a very young age. He's got a family to support. He's got hardship to deal with, right? But with wealthy families, you need to put pressure on the child to grow up. Otherwise, he may stay a child for life. So we need hardship. This is part of the human experience. And Allah sends into each person's life the right type of trials to help them grow into a better version of themselves. That these trials, they mold us. They make us better versions of ourselves. They shape our character. And so when we are facing difficulties in life, when we are going through hard times, when there is something in our life that we have absolutely no control over, understand that Allah has control over everything. That Allah knows, and the plan of Allah is best. That sometimes the very thing that you thought was going to destroy your life was the thing that was best for you and most important for you. Now, recently I was watching an interview with someone who something very similar happened to him, right? This individual was accused, right, of similar to what Yusuf alayhi salam was accused, and he was thrown in prison for a few years. And after coming out from prison, someone interviewed him and he said, being in prison brought him closer to Allah. Being in prison made him reflect. Being in prison made him change many of his views. It made him make tawbah for his sins, and he's thankful to Allah for it. This is the perspective a Muslim should have on any child we face in life. That this is from Allah, and there must be good in it, and it's all part of Allah's bigger plan. So this is the first major theme of Surah Yusuf. That Allah is in control. And the hardships of our life, they are pushing us towards what is best for us. Or they are unlocking within us what is best for us. And that they are going to shape us into the best versions of ourselves. And Allah is in control of everything, and Allah knows best. The second major theme that flows throughout the story is the importance of family and the different dynamics within the family. And there are some very unique family dynamics that are discussed in Surah Yusuf that you don't find anywhere else. So for example, we have the issue of jealousy between brothers, right? We have the issue of dealing with your children when you know they've gone astray, when you know that they have committed a major sin. We have the issue of forgiving a relative who has done great harm to you. All of these themes can be found in Surah Yusuf. So let's look at four lessons regarding family from Surah Yusuf. Number one, the importance of a father to have a close relationship with all of his children. This is a lesson we take from Surah Yusuf. The importance of a father having close relationships with all his children. When Yusuf alayhi salam has a dream, who does he go to for advice about the dream? Who does he go to for the interpretation of his dream? He goes to his father. This indicates that he was close enough to his father to confide in him for things like this. Are our children close enough to confide in us when something happens? Even Yusuf's other brothers, many years later, when they're dealing with the issue of Egypt and they want to know what do we do, they ask their father for advice. Right? The father is always showing up in the story as a man who advises his children. In every point of the story, Yaqub alayhi salam is giving sincere advice to his children. And this is a role every father needs to play. You need to be someone who your children can speak to. Someone who gives them advice. Someone who tells them the realities of the world. Someone who prepares them for the real world by talking to them about the difficult topics. It's a father's job to be in this role in his children's life. The next lesson about family that we can take from Surah Yusuf is that Shaitan wants us to break up. Right? And Shaitan will make family members get jealous of each other. And we cannot give in to the plot of Shaitan. So Yaqub alayhi salam tells his son Yusuf, do not tell your brothers about your dream because Shaitan is your enemy. He doesn't say your brothers are your enemy, he says Shaitan is your enemy. Right? Shaitan wants brothers to hate each other. He wants brothers to fight with each other. And we need to remind ourselves that breaking family ties is a major sin. It is a major sin. It's not even a minor sin. It is from the kaba'ir. It is from the greatest of sins. You know, it's one of those sins that brings about the azab of Allah quickly in this world. It's a major sin. And yes, family are going to do mistakes. Family are going to mess up. Inshallah, none of us have family members who went as far as the brothers of Yusuf went, right? Where they literally plotted to kill him and eventually threw him in a well and turned him into a slave. Hopefully none of us have any siblings or relatives that bad. But we're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to have differences of opinion. We're going to mess up. How do you deal with it? Well, that's the third lesson from Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf shows us the importance of forgiveness when it comes to family. Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers throw him in a well. He is sold into slavery. He has to live in a distant land, cut off from his family for over a few decades. Some say 40 years. Right? Some of the Mufassirin say 40 years he never sees his family. Others say 20, others say 30. That's all speculation, but the fact is it's decades. He didn't see his family for decades. Eventually, when he sees his brothers and he confronts them, what does he tell them? He tells them, I forgive you. That's what he does. He tells them, I forgive you. And then his father, Yaqub, also tells his son, seek forgiveness from Allah. Right? They ask him for forgiveness and he says, seek forgiveness from Allah. And so one of the key lessons of Surah Yusuf is, forgive your family members who have wronged you. Forgive your family members who have wronged you because the ties of family are very important in Islam. We need our family. We need each other. We need to be close to each other. We are in an age where everyone's only focused on themselves and people break ties over the smallest of issues. We need to overcome that. Family is crucial, family is important, and we must strive to maintain family ties and to forgive each other when we mess up. And that takes us to the fourth and final lesson related to family from Surah Yusuf. And that is, how do you deal with your children when they go astray? This is a question we get very often nowadays, right? Parents may do their best to raise their children well. But at some point in your children's adult life, Shaitan may overtake them and cause them to commit major sins. This is what happens in the story. Yaqub alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah, raised his children in the best of ways. But somewhere down the line, Shaitan gets to the hearts of his sons, puts in their hearts jealousy and causes them to do what they did to their youngest brother. How do you deal with this situation? Because let's face it, this is something that happens all too often in the modern world, right? Parents will raise their children in the best of ways and then one of their children grows up and goes astray. How do you deal with this? So the Islamic way of dealing with this is that you need to, number one, maintain that relationship. So look at Yaqub alayhi salam, right? He knows that his sons are lying to him. He knows that they did something terrible to their brother. He has not seen his son Yusuf for decades. Yet throughout the story, never once do you see him trying to break ties with any of his sons. Never. It doesn't even cross his mind that he needs to cut off his sons from his life. Rather, he advises them. He tells them not to lose hope in Allah's mercy. He tells them to repent. He teaches them about the religion. He still supports them financially when he can. He's still giving them advice about worldly affairs. He's still playing that role in their life while making dua for them. And eventually, after decades, his sons come back to the straight path. It took decades, right? Really, if you think about it, Yaqub alayhi salam had to be patient with his sons being misguided for over 20 or 30 years. Oh, when he describes it in the surah as Sabrun Jameel, beautiful sabr. This is sabr on a different level, really. He had to be patient with not seeing one of his sons for many decades. But at the same time, he had to be patient of living in the same house with the very people who got rid of that son and still treating them well and still fulfilling their rights and not breaking ties with them. And so Yaqub alayhi salam is the model of how to deal with your children if they go astray. You continue to maintain ties with them. You continue to offer them advice. You continue to mentor them. You continue to push them to repentance. You continue to push them to return to Allah. You never lose hope in Allah's mercy. You continue to make dua for them. This is how you deal with your children when they go astray. You don't cut them off. Because if you cut them off, there's a thousand shaitan waiting to take them on board. Right? You don't become mean and arrogant towards them because this will push them further away. You don't justify their sins because then they're never going to give up on their sins. But rather, you maintain family ties while letting them know that you disapprove of this action and they need to repent of this action. That is the Islamic way of dealing with our children when they stray. So these are two of the primary themes of Surah Yusuf. Number one, the theme of Allah being in control and Allah allowing hardships to happen in our life because they shape us and make us into better people. Number two, the theme of family and how to deal with different family members in difficult dynamics. We ask Allah to allow us to understand the Quran and to act upon it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The third major theme of Surah Yusuf is a very fascinating theme. It's one you could give an entire khutbah on or even an entire hour-long presentation on, and that is the importance of dreams in Islam. This story is a story of dreams that come true. There's actually four dreams in this surah that all end up coming true. Yusuf alayhi salam begins the story. The story begins with a dream, with Yusuf alayhi salam dreaming of 11 stars and the sun and the moon prostrating to him. At the end of the story, he becomes the ruler of Egypt, and his mother and father and 11 siblings accept him as the ruler, which is the interpretation of this dream, right? Along the way, he goes into prison. And in prison, he meets two prisoners who have dreams that require interpretation. One dreams that birds are eating from his head, and the other dreams that he's serving wine. And he interprets the dream to mean that the first prisoner is going to be executed, and the second one is going to be freed and will end up working for the king. And both interpretations come true. And then the fourth dream in the surah is that the king of Egypt has a dream in which there are seven fat cows that are eaten by seven thin cows. And Yusuf alayhi salam interprets his dream to mean that there would be 7 years of good harvest followed by 7 years of drought. So, what does this tell us about dreams? I just want to go over a few primary principles about dream interpretation in Islam. Number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that dreams are of three types. Majority of dreams are from our subconscious, from our imagination. The majority of dreams, you can ignore them. They're just your mind, right? Things that were on your mind, things you were thinking about, things you were obsessing about. You have the things in the back of your mind playing out. That's what most dreams are. The second type of dreams are nightmares from shaitan designed to frighten you. So when you have a terrifying dream, you seek Allah's protection from shaitan and you don't tell anyone about it and you don't let it affect you. Because the purpose of a nightmare is to make you depressed, to make you lose hope in Allah's mercy, to make you terrified, to make you superstitious. These are the things that shaitan is trying to do through nightmares. Right? He's trying to put these feelings into people's hearts. So you ignore it and you seek Allah's protection from the devil. The third type of dreams are true dreams from Allah. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, after me there will not be any more prophets, but there will be true dreams. And in a different hadith, he said that towards the end of time, when things get more confusing, true dreams will happen more often. They'll become more frequent. So there is this concept in our religion that anyone can have a true dream. And what is a true dream? A true dream is not a dream where Allah comes to you, an angel comes to you and says you can change the religion or add something to the religion or call to a prophet or call to the Mahdi, or all of this is falsehood, right? All of this is misguidance. A true dream is simply information about the future. This is what it is, information about the future in this world or the next. So in this world, for example, warning you that a drought or a plague or a flood or something like that is going to happen, or a relative is going to pass away or something like that. This is a true dream, right? Or secondly, about the afterlife, where if someone passed away and you have a dream of that person being in paradise or in hell or something like that, this could be a true dream as well. So what they are is, they are information about the future to help you to prepare for the future. And there are two types of true dreams. One type is literal. What you see is what the dream means. The other type is metaphorical. And what's interesting with Surah Yusuf is we have two examples of both. So the birds eating from the head, that would literally happen to people who were executed in those days, right? Especially if they were crucified. And the man serving wine, well, that's literally what his job in working for the king, serving wine. So these were very literal dreams. But the other two dreams are very metaphorical. 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowing, meaning your 11 brothers and your mother and father accepting you as a ruler. This is a very metaphorical dream. Likewise, 7 fat cows, 7 thin cows, 7 years of good harvest, 7 years of drought, very metaphorical. So when a dream is literal, it's something that's quite obvious, right? Your friend or family member passed away and you had the dream that they were in Jannah. It's very literal, very straightforward, doesn't require interpretation. But metaphorical dreams require interpretation. And the difficult thing about this is that interpretation of dreams cannot be taught. It's not a science. There's no textbook that you can study. There's no course you can do. There's no online course or video series you can watch that will teach you how to interpret dreams. Interpretation of dreams is a science, or rather it's an art and a gift that Allah puts into the minds and hearts of certain righteous people. Allah blesses people with the ability to interpret dreams. And so Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam both were blessed with this ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Yusuf alayhi salam when he was sold into slavery, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. We taught him how to interpret dreams. We taught him how to interpret dreams. So dream interpretation is something Allah gives to people. How do you find someone who can interpret dreams? There's no clear way to do this. In every community, Allah blesses some people with the ability to do so, and He doesn't bless others with the ability to do so. I will simply say this much. If you have a dream that you believe is a true dream and that requires interpretation, look for someone who is pious, someone who is trustworthy, someone who cares about you, and who is known for interpreting dreams properly, and confide in that person only, and don't tell it to everyone. Just like Yusuf alayhi salam told his father, and his father told him, don't tell others about this because shaitan, you know, is going to put jealousy between your hearts. Likewise, you don't have to tell everybody your dream, but confide in those people who can help you with interpreting it. Right? And finally, we end this by saying that don't be obsessed with dreams. Too many of us are obsessed with dreams, where we you know, someone will have one dream and they will just focus on that, thinking the dream must be a true dream and it must be something that's going to happen, and their whole life just becomes about focusing on that dream. Right? But in reality, the dream may have just been a passing thought. It may just have been your subconscious. It may have had absolutely no meaning at all. You recognize a true dream by a few signs. Number one, you remember it in perfect details. Let's face it, most of our dreams, we can't remember them, right? Or it's like a very vague memory. But with a true dream, you can remember it in perfect details. As if you actually lived that life, as if you actually did that, as if you actually were there and it actually happened. Number two, you feel that spirituality, that barakah, that special feeling in your heart when you wake up. That this was something special, this wasn't just a dream. Right? These are signs that this could be a true dream. So, don't obsess over dreams, but if you genuinely feel like you've had a true dream, and a third sign of that would be that the same dream keeps repeating itself over and over again. Right? And it has other two feelings as well. But if you do have a dream like this, seek interpretation of the right person. At the end of the day, this is something that is clear in our religion. It is something clear in Surah Yusuf, clear from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, clear from the experience of Muslims throughout history, right through today. Almost everyone I know has had a true dream at some point in their life or another. It is something that happens, something that you can't explain. It is a gift from Allah to whom He wills. And this is a theme that we can take from Surah Yusuf and reflect on. We ask Allah to guide us to understand the Quran properly and to live by it and to practice it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ